The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Chapter 25, Towards the Supramental Time Vision, page 885. All being, consciousness, knowledge moves secretly for our present surface awareness, openly when we rise beyond it to the spiritual and supramental ranges, between two states and powers of existence, that of the timeless infinite and that of the infinite deploying itself and organizing all things in time. These two states are opposed to and incompatible with each other only for our mental logic, with its constant, embarrassed stumbling around a false conception of contradictions and a confronting of eternal opposites. In reality, as we find when we see things with a knowledge founded on the supramental identity and vision, and think with the great, profound, and flexible logic proper to that knowledge, the two are only coexistent and concurrent status and movement of the same truth of the infinite. The timeless infinite holds in itself, in its eternal truth of being, beyond this manifestation, all that it manifests in time. Its time consciousness, too, is itself infinite and maintains in itself at once in a vision of totalities and of particularities, of mobile succession or moment sight, and of total stabilizing vision or abiding whole sight, what appears to us as the past of things, their present, and their future. The consciousness of the timeless infinite can be brought home to us in various ways, but is most ordinarily imposed on our mentality by a reflection of it and a powerful impression, or else made present to us as something above the mind, something of which it is aware, towards which it lifts, but into which it cannot enter, because itself lives only in the time sense and in the succession of the moments. If our present mind, untransformed by the supramental influence, tries to enter into the timeless, it must either disappear and be lost in the trance of samadhi, or else, remaining awake, it feels itself diffused in an infinite where there is perhaps a sense of supraphysical space, a vastness, a boundless extension of consciousness, but no time self, time movement, or time order. And if then the mental being is still mechanically aware of things in time, it is yet unable to deal with them in its own manner, unable to establish a truth relation between the timeless and things in time, and unable to act and will out of its indefinite infinite. The action that then remains possible to the mental Purusha is the mechanical action of the instruments of the Prakriti, continuing by force of old impulsion and habit, or continued initiation of past energy, prarabdha, or else an action chaotic, unregulated, uncoordinated, a confused precipitate from an energy which has no longer a conscious center. The supramental consciousness, on the other hand, is founded upon the supreme consciousness of the timeless infinite, but has too the secret of the deployment of the infinite energy in time. It can either take its station in the time consciousness and keep the timeless infinite as its background of supreme and original being, from which it receives all its organizing knowledge, will, and action, or It can, centered in its essential being, live in the timeless, but live too in a manifestation in time, which it feels and sees as infinite, and as the same infinite, and can bring out, sustain, and develop in the one what it holds supernally in the other. Its time consciousness, therefore, will be different from that of the mental being, not swept helplessly on the stream of the moments and clutching at each moment as a stay and a swiftly disappearing standpoint, but founded first on its eternal identity beyond the changes of time, secondly, on a simultaneous eternity of time, in which past, present, and future exist together, forever, in the self-knowledge and self-power of the eternal. Thirdly, in a total view of the three times as one movement, singly and indivisibly seen even in their succession of stages, periods, cycles, last, and that only in the instrumental consciousness, in the step-by-step evolution of the moments. It will therefore have the knowledge of the three times, Trikala Drishti, held of old to be a supreme sign of the seer and the rishi, not as an abnormal power, but as its normal way of time knowledge. This unified and infinite time consciousness, and this vision and knowledge, are the possession of the supermental being in its own supreme region of light, and are complete only on the highest levels of the supramental nature. But in the ascent of the human consciousness through the uplifting and transmuting evolutionary, and that is to say, self-unveiling, self-developing, progressively self-perfecting process of yoga, we have to take account of three successive conditions, all of which have to be overpassed before we are able to move on the highest levels. The first condition of our consciousness, that in which we now move, is this mind of ignorance that has arisen out of the inconscience and nescience of material nature. Ignorant, but capable of seeking for knowledge and finding it at least in a series of mental representations which may be made clues to the true truth, and more refined and illuminated and rendered transparent by the influence, the infiltration, and the descent of the light from above, prepare the intelligence for opening to the capacity of true knowledge. All truth is, to this mind, a thing it originally had not, and has had to acquire, or has still to acquire, a thing external to it, and to be gathered by experience, or by following certain ascertained methods and rules of enquiry, calculation, application of discovered law, interpretation of signs and indices. Its very knowledge implies an antecedent nescience. It is the instrument of avidya. The second condition of consciousness is potential only to the human being and gained by an inner enlightening and transformation of the mind of ignorance. It is that in which the mind seeks for its source of knowledge rather within than without, and becomes to its own feeling and self-experience, by whatever means, a mind, not of original ignorance, but of self-forgetful knowledge. This mind is conscious that the knowledge of all things is hidden within it, or at least somewhere in the being, but as if veiled and forgotten. And the knowledge comes to it not as a thing acquired from outside, but always secretly there, and now remembered, and known at once to be true, each thing in its own place, degree, manner, and measure. This is its attitude to knowledge, even when the occasion of knowing is some external experience, sign, or indication, because that is to it only the occasion, and its reliance for the truth of the knowledge is not on the external indication or evidence, but on the inner confirming witness. The true mind is the universal within us, and the individual is only a projection on the surface. And therefore, this second state of consciousness we have either when the individual mind goes more and more inward and is always consciously or subconsciously near and sensitive to the touches of the universal mentality in which all is contained, received, capable of being made manifest, or, still more powerfully, when we live in the consciousness of universal mind, with the personal mentality only as a projection, a marking board, or a communicating switch on the surface. The third state of consciousness is that of the mind of knowledge, in which all things and all truths are perceived and experienced as already present and known and immediately available by merely turning the inner light upon it, as when one turns the eye upon things in a room already known and familiar, though not always present to the vision because that is not attentive, and notes them as objects of a pre-existent knowledge. The difference from the second self-forgetful state of consciousness is that there is here no effort or seeking needed, but simply a turning or opening of the inner light on whatever field of knowledge, and therefore it is not a recalling of things forgotten and self-hidden from the mind, but a luminous presentation of things already present, ready, and available. This last condition is only possible by a partial supramentalizing of the intuitive mentality and its full openness to any and every communication from the supramental ranges. This mind of knowledge is in its essentiality a power of potential omnipotence. But in its actual working on the level of mind, it is limited in its range and province. The character of limitation applies to the supermind itself when it descends into the mental level and works in the lesser substance of mentality, though in its own manner and body of power and light. And it persists even in the action of the supramental reason. It is only the higher supramental Shakti acting on its own ranges, whose will and knowledge work always in a boundless light, or with a free capacity of illimitable extension of knowledge, subject only to such limitations as are self-imposed for its own purposes and at its own will by the Spirit. The human mind, developing into supermind, has to pass through all these stages. And in its ascent and expansion, it may experience many changes and various dispositions of the powers and possibilities of its time consciousness and time knowledge. At first, man in the mind of ignorance can neither live in the infinite time consciousness nor command any direct and real power of the triple time knowledge. The mind of ignorance lives not in the indivisible continuity of time, but successively in each moment. It has a vague sense of the continuity of self and of an essential continuity of experience, a sense of which the source is the deeper self within us. But as it does not live in that self, also it does not live in a true time continuity, but only uses this vague but still insistent awareness as a background, support, and assurance in what would otherwise be to it a constant baseless flux of its being. in its practical action. Its only support, other than its station in the present, is the line left behind by the past and preserved in memory. The mass of impressions deposited by previous experience and, for the future, an assurance of the regularity of experience, and a power of uncertain forecast, founded partly upon repeated experience and well-founded inference, and partly on imaginative construction and conjecture. The mind of ignorance relies on a certain foundation or element of relative or moral certainties, but for the rest, a dealing with probabilities and possibilities is its chief resource. Pausing near the end of page 889, until the next reading.